the Marlins CEO and part owner of the Miami Marlins. Derry, good morning, and thanks for coming on with us.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. How you guys doing?
Man, we're doing great. We've been all over the board, and man, you have been busy quietly with the home run sculpture down. Thank you for putting that thing outside. I appreciate it. The new standing area, new logo, colors, new uniform. Just talk about the reasons behind doing all that stuff, Derek, right now.
Well, you know, we wanted to take the first year of our ownership to actually listen to the fans and find out what's important to them, what they like, what they don't like, what they would keep, what they would change. And, you know, we combined that with our own observations, and we wanted to make sure that coming into 2019 that it's a completely different feel for our ballpark and for our fan experience. So we're excited about it. We think once the fans get an opportunity to see what we're doing inside the ballpark, they're going to love it. And, you know, then we also, on top of that, have an opportunity to rebrand the organization.
All right, Derek, everybody's seen the logo and the jersey. Let's talk about the home run sculpture, though, because that's a prime topic of conversation. Now that it's out.
Not for me. Gone. Good.
Joe hated
it.
I actually liked it. It was quirky, but I get why you're taking out. What was your thoughts on that specifically?
Well, our thoughts were, look, we wanted to make sure that we tailor this ballpark to our fans. And, you know, especially the younger demographic now, when they come to games, they don't always want to necessarily sit down and speak to the person on their left and the person on their right. They want to be able to move around and have a different experience. So we've added some standing room only sections. We're putting a new deck in center field, a three-tier deck, which will really change the experience for our fans.
All right, Derek, got to ask you, is this job, after being a shortstop for the Yankees for so long, is this job what you thought it was going to be when you took over running the whole show here?
Well, you know, be honest with you, I came in here with no expectations.
Okay.
I mean, in terms of on a daily basis, you know, it's I guess if you ask my wife, she might say that you know, it's a lot more time consuming than she thought it would be. But for me, I knew it was going to be a lot of hard work. Look, we're taking over an organization that has not been successful, and in order to do that, we're going to have to make some changes. We have made some changes, but our goal is to build an organization that's sustainable year in and year out. And, you know, unfortunately, that takes a little bit of time.
All right. Right now, JT Realmuto's out there. He looks like he is hot. If you want to trade him, I know his agent came out here recently and said he wants to get moved. Do you expect that to happen for the right prospects and whatever you're looking for?
Well, I mean, I guess the best way to answer is, look, JT, he's well aware of how we feel about him as a player. You know, I know his agent did come out and say that they wouldn't sign an extension. Look, they signed an extension, that's entirely up to them. But, you know, where he plays the next 2 years is entirely up to us. So for us, it's not about one particular player. It's about 25 guys that we have on our roster, and it's about our entire minor league system as well. So every move that we make, I'm not talking about JT in particular, but any move that we make, is for the betterment of this organization. So we're always trying to make our organization better, and we do that with any player.
All right, you got swamped with bad contracts when you took over and an empty minor league system. Where are you at now in your minor league system?
It's a good question. Yeah, we're extremely happy. You know, we still have a long way to go. But we've acquired a lot of players, whether that's via trade or through the draft or through our international signings that we just had recently. You know, our job is to build our organization up from, you know, from the top down, bottom up, however you want to say it. But in order for you to be sustainable year in and year out, you have to have that pipeline of players. So we have made a lot of improvements in that area since we've taken over the organization. But look, we still have a long way to go. I don't know if I'll ever say we don't have a long way to go.
Yeah. I guess just the follow-up to that was going to be, how many years do you you obviously put down game plans and goals and where you want to be in X amount of time. How long do you think that takes to build that minor league system back up to where you want it?
As soon as possible.
Okay.
That's the way I answer. You know, I never put a time frame on it because if you put a time frame on it, you're telling your players that it's acceptable to lose. And you don't want that to be their mindset. Every single day they take the field,
right,
you want them to know that they can go out there and compete and they have an opportunity to win. So I'll never put a time frame on it.
You said something last year that was really interesting. A lot of people are looking at you. And, you know, you come in here and you've done so much damn winning in your life with the Yankees, and you're like, hey, I expect us to win right away. And, you know, the media is kind of sitting behind your back there, Derek, going, geez, how are you going to win with these guys all the time? And you really expected that. Then the other thing you talked about I thought was pretty interesting was you want to see when guys don't play well, how they respond when they're in a funk or one of these 2-for-25s or something like that. Talk more about those two situations and why you felt that way in both situations.
Well, yeah, one thing you have to understand is, and when you're a player, you come to compete every single day. And, you know, I always had the mindset, I don't want to be the guy that says, oh, well, when I played. But when I played, for this argument,
go ahead. Now, yeah.
But when I played, I felt as though I was playing for my job every single day. And, you know, that's the mindset that we want our players to have. And, you know, that starts at the top and it permeates throughout the organization. And, you know, every single day we want our players to compete. And if they don't have that mindset, then this just is not the right organization for them.
That's easy as a player, understandable to come in with that mindset, you know, because you can change. You could change a day as a shortstop. How do you come to the mindset as when you're CEO in the front office?
Well, look, I people have always asked, you know, what's it like watching games now? And it's frustrating because, you know, I prided myself in playing every single day. And when you're playing, you have an opportunity to affect the outcome. When you're watching in from a front office position, you don't. But you mentioned earlier about players struggling. I mean, it's easy to play a professional sport, walk around with your head up high and do the post-game interviews when things are going well. But I think you tell a lot about players. You tell a lot about organizations when things aren't going well. Do they have the fight? Do they have the determination? Are they trying to get better? It can be frustrating at times, but we have the long-term vision in mind.
Derek, can you win right away with this group? I know we talked earlier, especially if you do lose a real Muto, people are asking, well, how do they all of a sudden get better next year? What do you say to that?
Well, I think a lot of things is, from a fan's perspective, and I understand this, I understand this. They look at wins and losses, and that's how they judge an organization. Look, every organization is going to go through periods where they're not winning as many games as they like, when they're losing more games than they'd like. But the bottom line is, you know, you can have a first-class organization regardless of what the wins and loss record is. But having said that, wins and losses is what we're paying attention to. And we want a lot of our young players that had an opportunity to play this past season, we want them to improve. We want to see them going into next year and make some steps in the right direction. So, you know, I expect, like I said, and I told our players last season, I expect you to go out there and compete every day.
How hard was it? You mentioned frustrating the losses. Do you carry those after games? Are you driving around the city? How do you deal with all that losing?
I carry it until I get home. I have a young daughter, so I don't know if my wife wants to hear me talk about wins and losses when I get home to a 14-month-old.
We got Victor and Victor. Victor, what can you tell us about him? I know you had a big press conference and want to hit the international market a little bit more, and we're able to do that. How long before you feel like, especially the older of the two brothers, is ready to go?
Yeah, we got three Victors for the price of two.
A dad, too, yeah.
No, he's just talking Victor and Victor.
Three Victors, there we go, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? It's interesting. These both players, they haven't played in a while. So we want to get them in games and see where they are. But, especially Victor. I mean, he was, the number one international prospect. We're extremely excited to have him in our organization. But I think it's entirely up to him. You know, when I told our players in spring training, when you're ready to play in Miami, you'll be in Miami. So, I've always prided myself on competition. And that's what we're going to have in this organization. But whenever he's ready, we don't want to rush anyone. We want to make sure that they're ready to handle, day in and day out at the major league level.
All right, you're bringing Spanish lessons to everybody in the Marlins. How's your Spanish these days?
Bueno.
Bueno, we know bueno.
I understand more than I speak. And, give me a little time. I'll be much better.
Derek, you've been so loved for the way you play, the championships, everything you've done for the Yankees. What is it like when you come here and all of a sudden I mean, you're getting trashed at times for things you've done and you didn't do and people you let go and people you kept and that damn Jeter and the way he's – this is the first time you've really gone through this besides a few boo birds if one went between your legs. What's that been like for you?
Well, you know, to be quite honest with you, sometimes you have to make difficult decisions because, look, you know, the fan base wants to see a team that has an opportunity to win. This team, like I said many times before, has not been to the postseason since 2003, so something is not working. They haven't had a winning record since 2009, so something is not working, and you have to change that. So it's fan base, they want to see a winner. Look, I didn't come down here to lose. We came down here to build a championship team. But it was not working for whatever reason, and we need to go ahead and we needed to go ahead and make those changes and build this organization the right way.
All right, when you look at the changes you've made, and I'm talking the roster, really, you got some young pitching. Brian Anderson had a good year. Where do you say this is our most significant jump from a year ago when you took over?
I'd say the most significant jump is through our minor league system, which, you know, obviously is not visible to our fan base here in Miami. But the talent that we've infused throughout the organization is something that we are extremely proud of. We have, you know, layers of talent that are going to be in Miami sooner rather than later. Like I said before, when they're ready. But we're pretty excited about the guys that we have in the minor league level.
Speaking of that minor league system, Brian Anderson, does he end up right fielder or third baseman for you? Where do you see him ending up?
That's the great thing about Brian, his versatility. I mean, he hadn't played outfield. I think maybe he had done it in college a little bit, but you know, he went out there and didn't miss a beat. I mean, he was very good out there defensively. He looked very comfortable. You know, that's one thing we have is the flexibility, but we do need to figure out where we need him most and make sure that we get him comfortable and settled in.
Another top prospect, Lewis Brinson from Coral Springs High School here in Broward County. Got off to a rough start. You talk about a guy's been through the highs and lows, but then picked it up. How do you guys feel about him right now? As now he's got some experience and has been through plenty of highs and lows.
I tell you what, the way he handled himself throughout the course of a major league season, where he had a lot of tough luck early on. He struggled a lot, and trust me, when you're struggling at this level, it's no fun. But he handled himself like a professional. He showed signs of what he's capable of doing in the future. We're very high on Lewis, and you know, he works extremely hard. He's accountable, so we expect big things from him next year.
All right, winter meetings coming up. You're going again as a owner. Give us a story of your meeting owners now who knew you as a player. Is there a language gap or a transition that had to be done? There must be a funny story there of a owner now seeing you as an owner.
Yeah, I've obviously met a lot of the owners throughout my playing career, but now it's kind of funny because from a player's standpoint, you're trying to beat the other team. I was kind of shocked at how much other owners reached out and said they're willing to help. So I think one of the first groups that I met with who took over the team, members of the Red Sox front office, and they were sitting there and they're so nice and anything we can help and any advice. And I thought there was some sort of a hidden camera. I really couldn't believe it. But they've all been willing to help. And look, everyone says, regardless of what profession you come from, it's going to take you a little while before you get your feet under you. And they've all been very helpful.
Derek, I just a general question in sports, and I'm just curious. Can you win and be popular and bring fans back without stars on your team? Do you think you have to have stars after what you've been through? I mean, you guys are full of them with the New York Yankees, and that's what you know best. What do you think of that?
You can develop stars, too.
Okay.
I think that's the bottom line. I mean, we came up in 1996. Our group, fan base, didn't know who we were. And, we had success. And look, you know, our blueprint that we have for turning this organization around, it's not something that we're making up. I mean, it's been a blueprint that most teams have used. You know, you have to develop that system and bring some young guys up. So, you know, I was talking to a group of fans early on, and they said, you come from the Yankee organization, you know, you don't know what it's like coming to a park with no fans. I said, well, you know, go back and watch some of the Yankee highlights in the late 80s, early 90s, and you talk to Donnie, and there's no fans in the stands. So I think every organization goes through it, but we'll turn this thing around.
Derek, thanks, man. We really appreciate it. You coming on and making time for us here in the morning. Thank you so much. I hope we get to do it again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, guys.
All right. Derek Jeter, Miami Marlins CEO and part owner of the Miami Marlins, joining us to talk a little bit about everything.